14th at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel, Maidstone. Get free tickets at growkent.co.uk or come on the day.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this March the 21st, where spring has sprung. It's a lovely day out there, isn't it? Yeah, it's really gorgeous. He's not impressed, is he? He's not impressed, Martin. The
I'm
lovely
very
day.
Impressed.
Ah, are you?
I'm looking forward to some open water swimming soon.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Are you?
So is Bird. Yeah, Bird and I are training. Yeah, I'm going to be Bird's wingman.
Isn't that dangerous for him, open water swimming?
This is Top Gun in reverse. I'm going to be Bird's wingman.
Really?
What's your call sign going to be, Bird? What will I call you?
Bird?
Bird. He's not very bright, really, is he?
Just get a little bit inventive there, aren't they?
That's nice and easy to remember. Right, okay. So what am I going to be?
The whale.
Whale.
Bird and whale.
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick.
Big
fantastic.
Bird.
So, yes. Yeah, so we'll get that in. Yeah, that's a date. Yeah. How far? Oh, I don't know. Whatever you want.
I've just found the email about Invicta Insurance, but you've just done that, really, haven't you?
So I didn't have it. But luckily, I knew.
I had it. Yeah. I was going to read it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this instead. And I should have read this last week, but it came in just as I was finishing the show and I didn't have a chance to read it. And it's from Tracy Ferguson. And it says, "Hi, Paul and Bird. Please can you say a huge thank you to everyone who was involved in making the Women Work event at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells such a success last Friday." So that was Friday, 2 weeks ago now. "To Ania, who had the vision for the event, to the committee members, to the inspirational speakers, to the cheerleaders and singers, to the media and radio promoters, the filmmakers, all the sponsors, the donations including the great prizes, the set design, the theatre staff, marketing support, the graphic designers, the social media presence and web design, the volunteers running workshops, and finally to the wonderful audience, both day and evening, supported us to raise as much as possible for Polly and her fantastic team of volunteers at the Pickering Cancer Drop-In Centre. There has been so much great feedback. It truly was a day to remember. Thank you all." And that's from Tracy. And you can follow Tracy on the Twitter, where she is Tazzy, T-A-Z-I, 6-4, Tazzy 6-4. So yeah, it was a fabulous event, wasn't it? Yeah. So well done to everybody involved in the Women Work event. A fabulous effort.
While we're on that note, charitable foundations, Linda and I were at Blast last week, weren't we?
Oh, at Kent Foundation.
Yeah. Last Tuesday, Kent Foundation. Linda was actually sponsoring that, weren't you?
I did indeed.
So that was a really cracking evening. Again, it was slightly warm in the studio. It was another studio. It was slightly bigger than this, but it was equally warm. But we had a cracking night, didn't we? We had all sorts of Kent producers there.
It was nice to actually have the young entrepreneurs there with their products or their services and showcasing their businesses, which is quite refreshing at a networking event. I think we need to do more of that.
It was quality networking and meeting some really exciting young up-and-coming entrepreneurs as well. So cracking evening. Well done, guys. Looking forward to the next one next year already.
Fantastic.
What are you doing next Saturday?
I don't know why.
You've forgotten, haven't you?
No, I'm going to Dartford. I'm going to watch the footy.
Fantastic. So looking forward to that. And I just wanted to say a quick hello to Keith, who is the new commercial manager at Dartford, who's going to be looking after us next Saturday.
Keith.
Because Lauren...
All right, Keith.
Lauren has moved on.
Has he?
So the lovely Lauren Webster has moved on to Dagenham.
Has he?
And Keith has taken over at Dartford. So
is he the ex... That's the ex-Rolling Stones, Keith.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, it's him. Yeah. He just does his part-time. Yeah. So we've got a match day sponsorship up there next Saturday. So if you fancy bumping into Vanilla Webb or myself at a game of football, it's Eastbourne.
Playing Eastbourne.
3 p.m. kick-off, and there's going to be a bit of photo shoot opportunity beforehand, all sorts going on.
Fabulous.
Buffet afterwards. So.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be good fun.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be good fun. Looking forward to it.
Bird saying, I haven't been invited. It's blokes only, I'm afraid, Bird. Blokes only. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I'd take you, Bird. I'd take you like a shot. It's him. Yeah. You can come with me to Maidstone. You can come to the Jobs in Kent Lounge at Maidstone.
Look, I'm going to be your wingman. What more do you want?
Yeah. Open water swimming. Yeah. You can moor your boat against him.
You can call me Bluey.
Yeah.
It's Blue Whale for short. Bluey.
Bluey, yeah. She's changed her name to Captain Ahab. Yeah, go on. Hold on, Rebecca. Yeah, go on.
Hi, Lo. I just wanted to mention something that I forgot earlier on, just in case I do need to go because it's the baby kicking off. But we had a competition very recently, actually in conjunction with Supply My Business. And it was who could, last week we had a Twitter competition, who could retweet us or mention us as many times as possible in 1 week, which right. was last week. Right. So I was going to come on today and tell you who the winner was. So the winner
She's building it up.
Is from a Kent business owner. And it's, I understand, I only know this now, that it's actually a gentleman, which, again, we don't exclude men. And it's at networking_Kent. Who tweeted us and retweeted
Neil,
us.
That's Neil.
Neil De Silva.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, so Neil. We're friends on Facebook. Hi, Neil.
Well done, Neil. So what did he win?
So he's won a little bit of a promotion via Supply My Biz.
Fantastic.
So, Neil, I'll be in touch. Neil also runs a business called The Gut Guru. So he really is a... he's
a friend
all
of
about,
yours.
He's all about inner health.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, cool, good. Look
congratulations, Neil.
Yeah, thank well you for done. That. Mm. Brilliant. I'll tell you what, do another email and then we'll talk to our next guest.
I knew you were going to say that. You always
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll read this tweet while you're Go searching on. Through your emails.
Go on.
It's from Gemma, the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. It's Super Tuesday. It's the Business Funk Show. Have a great day. Have a great show. Can I get a shout-out, please, for my HR course for non-HR managers? And you did mention this earlier, but I just wanted to... re-emphasize that and it's
the course dates are
the 24th of April, the 22nd of May, the 26th of June, the 24th of July and the day before my birthday, the 21st of August. So there you go.
Each day will begin at 10 and end at 3.
Good. I know you've done all this, but she's tweeted me, so I thought I'd read it.
The venue is the Base Point Business Centre in Dartford.
Good. It's a nice venue too.
So it's monthly, it's over 5 months, and the whole idea is to empower non-HR managers who are actually responsible for their business's HR function with the tools and the skills that they need in order to do their job properly.
Fantastic. The lovely Deborah Turner has tweeted, and she says, I can't listen live, so I'll listen on the catch-up, but can you give a shout-out for somebody else, please? Can you give a shout-out for RY Brilliance? RY Brilliance. Yeah?
Is that R. White's Lemonade?
R.Y.
Oh, R.Y.
As in Y fronts.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Yeah. R.Y. Brilliance.
John Major used to wear those, didn't he?
Apparently. Yeah. They've got an event on the 4th of May. And she says, well, we'll see you tomorrow at the Grow Kent. So thank you for that. Do follow R.Y. Brilliance on their Twitter.
Can I give a quick shout out to the lovely people at Metro Bank?
No.
In Bexley Heath?
No.
Who bought me a delicious latte coffee yesterday.
Did they?
Well, we had a chat about Metro's... new banking model. So what they're doing, Metro, really, is they're rolling back.
Bank. Yeah.
Yeah, they're rolling back banking to how it used to be, back in the old days when it was actually quite a civilized business to be in. Mm. So I was in their store yesterday in Bexley Heath, and actually they're about to open another one in Canterbury.
They are. It's going to be a while, though.
It's the worst kept secret, I think. But
yeah, but they've had. I don't know what the problem is, but funnily enough, I was walked up there the other day because I'm trying to change my move my bank to them in Canterbury.
Right.
And
good.
And it's in the old CH Fabrics building.
It is.
And they haven't even started work on building it yet, so it's going to be a while off before they open the branch.
It's a big old building. Yeah. Well, let me introduce you to Rick and Chris then, Chris Dexiades, from the Bexley Heath branch. You should have a chat with them in the meantime. So,
sure. No, well, I know the Michelle, the director of the Canterbury branch. So,
what, that isn't open yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's,
but she's already working.
It's not very handy then, is it, really?
No, no, but she's the area director, so...
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. Oh, is she? Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. He's hobnobbing again. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
I know somebody that's, you know,
don't
higher up the chain.
Big boys,
yeah. Anyway, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to our next guest, because I've been waiting, and she's been waiting very patiently to talk to us, and I really, really am keen to talk to her, because I haven't talked to her for ages. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Funker Show for the first time, I think.
Yes, first time.
The lovely Kelly Teasdale from Market My Product over there in Sevenoaks. Kelly, welcome onto the show. It's absolutely lovely to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's okay. So we made reference earlier to how I first met you, which was at the Sevenoaks Business Show a couple of years ago, and you were just launching your business then. So tell us a bit more about your business and what inspired you to launch it and kind of what you've been doing.
Yeah, so Yeah, so we met literally nearly 2 years ago. So I had just left corporate life. So I've been in marketing for about 17 years.
Right. Always in. She doesn't look old enough, does she?
Oh, I am. I promise you I am. In big marketing agencies in various places, New York and London, working on big brands. So like Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson, Samsung. Had a great
time. Never heard of them.
No, I had a great time, but kind of always wanted to do my own thing.
Sure.
And I had a lot of friends who had their own businesses and were always coming to me for help. And I thought, you know what? There's a real opportunity to take all of that big brand experience and knowledge and help SMEs. So that's what I've done, really. So I launched Market My Product literally almost two years ago. And the whole model is really has been built to put right everything that I think is wrong with marketing.
Right, okay.
Particularly for SMEs. So we're an integrated marketing team. So what you find a lot of in the marketplace these days is you'll have like a social media expert or a web development expert or, you know, various expert in various disciplines or PR or whatever.
Yeah.
So what we do is we bring all of that together and then I work with the business owners to develop the marketing strategy. So that's the other thing that's different about us. So we don't believe in, there's a lot of like, I call like get rich quick. Marketing is about right now, like teaching people how to make money online, which is great. And, you know, the online channels are there to be used and you have to be online.
Sure.
If you want to grow your business in today's market. But if you don't have a robust marketing strategy behind that activity, all you're really doing is kind of channel hopping. So we do a lot of strategic work with business owners around what actually is your marketing strategy and are you actually picking the right channels for you and your business to get your message out there. Then the other thing that's different about us is generally what's out there in the market from a marketing point of view is you have like a marketing agency setup, like a traditional marketing agency setup, where you have to pay a retainer $1,000 or whatever a month for your work to be done, or you have to go and source the individuals yourself. Sourcing the individuals yourself is pretty high maintenance, and you have to then connect all of those different experts. If you have an agency team, it tends to be expensive. So our model is kind of, it's a hybrid model, it's in between the two.
So
all of my experts are part of the MMP network. So they're people that I work with, that I trust. We're used to working together. I go in and help develop the strategy, and then we feed out, and we either scale up or scale down, depending on what the specific needs are of a business. So it's a very... It's a slightly different model from what you see in terms of marketing support and agencies out there right now.
It's really interesting, isn't it, as well, especially with the SME marketplace. And here in Kent, we have an incredibly strong SME marketplace, over 70,000 small businesses now. And, you know, 99.9% of all businesses, not just in Kent, but in the UK, are actually small businesses. So just like we were talking earlier about them not having HR managers, they don't normally have marketing managers. But one of the things that has struck me over the last few years, and it's a thing that I see moving more and more and more, is the merger between sales and marketing is happening at a far greater pace.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, we used to do sales and then marketing, and they were really two completely separate functions. You know, where, salespeople would go out on the road, bang down doors, ring you 400 times a day and, you know, get in your face and try and sell you stuff. And marketing was about putting adverts in the paper. But now those two disciplines have really started to come together because the old form of sales doesn't work anymore and it is much more marketing orientated. I mean, is that just me getting the wrong end of the stick or do you see that as a marketer?
Oh, no, it's definitely happening. And I think, actually, though, as marketeers, we do have a lot to learn in some ways from salespeople. So I've done a lot of kind of back office work around marketing KPIs with sales experts, because what they're really good at is looking at what's working.
Yeah.
Very often you'll see people running marketing campaigns and you're like, okay, so what's your click-through rate? Like, how many people are actually, like, you know, signing up to your list? They don't have those metrics.
Yeah.
Salespeople are really good at doing that. So we've done some work with some sales experts around how do you better connect that marketing and sales piece. But yeah, I mean, I think sales, you know, the old days of sales, of knocking on doors, those days have gone. And so we always say, like I always say, the new marketing is about, so it used to be about price, product and promotion. So I have my, chocolate bar, where am I going to put it in the shop to sell it? It's not about that anymore. It's about community building and it's about the channels that you're on and it's about content
and relationships
and relationships. And so that's why I think you are seeing that move away from the traditional sales model into this more, you know, to be honest, it is online, but it is a marketing space.
Yeah, absolutely.
So but our whole thing is about making marketing accessible for SMEs. So we do lots of different things. So we do done-for-you services. So we'll actually implement marketing campaigns for people. We also do marketing coaching. So we'll just literally hop on a Skype call for a couple of hours, chat with the business owner, troubleshoot, talk to them about channel options, what's happening in the business, whatever. And then more and more so now we're moving into kind of workshops and training as well.
Okay.
Just to help business owners, you know, just figure out how to accelerate the growth of their businesses, because it's not hard.
Yeah.
And people think that it is, but it really isn't.
Well, that's interesting. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about next, really, is how hard is it? For you, it's easy because you're an expert at it. You know, you're a genius. You've been doing it for far too long for how you look. So, you know. So you know what you're doing. Mm. So for you, it's easy. For a lot of business people that go into business quite often based on what they do for a living. Yeah. So to pick a silly example, say if you're a bricklayer and you suddenly start working for yourself as a bricklayer, you don't really have any skills in either running a business, HR management, or marketing, or any of those other disciplines, because you know you're a specialist in a particular trade. So for them. A lot of people, they're scared of it and they just don't understand it, and there can be quite a bit of jargon thrown in there as well. So from your point of view, starting with a small business, have you got any views as a starting point to where a small business should start marketing? And what I mean by that is you start up your business. Is it something you should do from day one, or should you get your business established first? What's your feeling on that?
So I would start marketing even before you launch your business.
Right,
because you have to, like, what I call create unmet need in the marketplace. So even before you launch a business or a product into a marketplace, you need to be talking to people, your target audience, whoever they might be, about the product that you're bringing or the business you're bringing. So I would start even before.
Right.
In terms of how easy it is, you know, probably the most helpful but easiest thing you could ever do, I say to business owners, is to just do a basic business SWOT. People do SWOTs all the time, but they don't connect it to marketing. Just do a basic business SWOT. Be realistic about your business.
Just for those that don't know, tell us what a SWOT is.
So it's a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats analysis. Yeah. So you can do it in just a basic grid.
Yep.
And this is just giving yourself a few moments to think about, what are my strengths to the marketplace? What are the threats? What are the challenges? Think that through. Mm. A lot of business owners are used to doing that.
Sure.
Then take a step back and just say, right, based on everything that I can see here, what are the top 3-4 critical success factors that are really going to drive my growth?
Right.
From the business, from everything that I can see, whether that's differentiation in the marketplace, whether it's targeting a specific target audience, whatever it is. Mm. And then I would build your marketing strategies around that.
Okay.
And then your tactical choices, so, you know, how you choose to behave on Facebook, what you choose to talk about, whether you do pay-per-click advertising, that's all driven by a marketing strategy, mm-hmm. which is then grounded in the actual needs of your business in the marketplace.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does very much.
It's a very simple way of just thinking through, you know, how can I do this myself?
Absolutely. And from your point of view, and this is a horrible question, and I realise this straight away, so, you know, don't worry, just laugh at me. For those people, you know, I talk to lots of very micro business owners and small startups and stuff like that, and people get very concerned about this kind of thing. And you kind of made a vague reference to it earlier as well, because as a startup business, I don't know what you know, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, you say I'm a marketing specialist. I don't know, how will I know? So a lot of small businesses get a bit scared about this. Like, how do I even know who to hire to help me do this?
Yeah, and that's why I came onto the market. That's why I'm so passionate about this business, because there's a lot of people who have been really successful making money online, right? Yeah. And that's fine. Mm. But that isn't necessarily marketing. That's making money online.
Yeah.
So for me, coming from a, you know, traditional marketing background, sure. big brand, that's what's important, is that we help business owners. So I would say, if you're looking for someone, go to someone that has genuine marketing experience, that has experience of marketing big brands. Yes, there will always be platform changes. Mm. There'll also always be the latest internet trends, but you need to be able to strategically drive those decisions if you're really going to accelerate growth. Because really, otherwise, I call it spaghetti throwing. You're basically just throwing stuff at
them. So what you're kind of saying to me, if I can paraphrase it, is that the marketing expertise you've got and the marketing strategy you develop is almost immaterial of what its delivery platform is. You know, you've got a marketing strategy, and at the moment you might choose to deploy that via online or social media, but you could deploy it in another way because it's a marketing strategy. It's not a social media strategy.
Exactly. So my point is, you know, if you really want to grow your business, you need to know what is your business? What does it stand for? How is it different from competitors? Who are your target audience? Where are they hanging out? And how are you going to reach them? Actually, the channel bit is the bit that comes much later down the line, but people start there. That's
exactly. And I was gonna say the biggest mistake I see, and people do it now because you can, is they start on social media and they build some kind of huge following, and you go, and they go, well, you know, I've got all this following. And you go, but how many of them are going to buy from you? Because most of them aren't even in this country. You know, they're in Russia or whatever, or the Middle East, and you know, you're selling flowers in Whitstable. How's that going to work?
They're just vanity strategies. They're not true marketing strategies. Mm. So true marketing strategies are around building a community around your business and your brand.
I think that, for me, what you just said is the single most salient point for any small business, is understand who your customers are.
Yeah.
Because so many don't think about that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so many business owners that I work with, they're all marketing from the inside out.
Yeah.
Actually, just know, we build customer avatars, but they're just target audiences. Who's your target audience? Like, how do they think? What's the demographic?
Yeah.
What decisions do they make in terms of purchases? Mm. Where are they hanging out on a day-to-day basis?
And funnily enough, and you don't need to comment on this, but it actually brings us right back to Martin's original rant with the failure over Class 4 NICs, is that the politicians lost sight of who their market is. Yeah? The Tory government lost sight of who their main voters are and actually implemented a strategy that was anti their own demographic market, which is why they had to withdraw from it so quickly. Yeah?
They were just skimp and they needed more money. They were just skint and they needed some more money. It wasn't as complicated as that.
They've never been skint. Have you seen how much money the government actually takes in and what they do with it?
Yeah, but we're running a massive budget deficit.
Exactly, yeah.
So they're skint.
Yeah, and taking in 20 million more from NICs ain't going to do anything. No. Ain't even going to scratch the surface. They could just stop wasting money. That would help.
I don't know why they're so obsessed with reducing the corporation tax rate. For me, that's, you know, you can only reduce it so far and then it kind of doesn't really matter. I can't believe that corporation tax is that price elastic in terms of big corporations deciding where they're going to build and employ new staff.
Not only that, I think you'll find, though, that there's an optimum level. And if you reduce corporation tax, you actually make more money.
Mm.
You actually increase your revenues by reducing it. It's called a Laffer curve, but, you know, a lot of people dispute that. But everywhere it's ever been implemented, that is what has happened. When you reduce the rate of corporation tax, you actually raise more revenue.
Mm. But none of them are paying any tax anyway. It's all going offshore.
Mm. Anyway, that's another argument. we'll come back to the marketing.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in
marketing. No.
Well, pricing is part of marketing. It's product, price, place, promotion.
No, that's the old days.
Yeah.
Old days?
You weren't listening.
The new days are all about community channels and content.
Well, yeah, but you've got to have a product. You've got to price it, haven't you? You've got to decide where you're going to sell it, and then you've got to promote it.
That's business strategy. That's not necessarily marketing strategy in the true sense of the
word. So forget Philip Kotler. What did he know about marketing?
I've never even heard of him.
I haven't either.
No. He's obviously a mate. Martin, so they obviously go open water swimming together or something.
I don't know. You put Paul's point into context, it's proven that if you actually reduce a price by a small amount, you increase sales by a much greater amount, and it's the same concept.
It's the same concept.
I understand, but it's incremental.
Up to a point.
Yeah, and there's always a point. If you reduce it too low, it doesn't work. If you put it too high, it doesn't work. That's why it's called a Laffer curve, because there's a single point which is the optimum point for doing it. But let's come back to Kelly and what you're doing with Market My Product, because I really love the kind of stuff you're doing. And although you've not been on the show in the last couple of years, we have talked a number of times, and we've had your customers have come on the show to talk about their products and stuff like that, which is always brilliant. So as a business, you specialise in SMEs.
We specialise in accelerating the growth of SMEs,
absolutely.
In terms of what we actually offer, so it's done-for-you services. It's kind of strategic counsel and consultancy, so we can just you know, hop in for a day and do some strategic work and then hop
So
out.
Basically, you can do it for them.
We can you just can, tell them how to do
you
it.
You can tell them how to do it.
Though, that is the whole thing. It's about making it accessible. Yeah. We've got a membership site that we've just launched.
Wow, okay.
So it's like $24.99 a month for business owners, but for the first few months it's $4.99. But it's literally lots of videos, educational content. How do you market your business? We're uploading fresh stuff every month, some tips, tricks, you know.
Oh, wow.
Which is really accessible.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and then we've got a couple. We've got a big event coming up on the 10th of June in London called Marketing Saturday Live. So it's a collaboration between Market My Product and Lead Gen Social. They're amazing at kind of driving traffic online. So it's myself and Matt Dugan. We're going to spend the day with business owners, and we're going to make sure that everybody leaves with a blueprint for how to market their business end to end, from like strategy right the way through to.
Fantastic. That's on June.
It's on the 10th of June.
Of June.
In London.
On Martin, a Saturday.
Yes. Okay. At Heathrow. So so there's that as well. And then I'm also speaking at the Seven Oaks Business Show this year.
Absolutely. Which is taking place in April at the Stag Plaza.
Yeah. So I'm doing giving a presentation on the 7 marketing superpowers to accelerate the growth of your business.
That's a fabulous little event. I've been to this for the last couple of years, and it's in fact where I first met Kelly. It's a great event, isn't it? Right in the centre of Seven Oaks. It's one of those business events that isn't huge, and because it's not huge, it's very intimate and friendly and useful, and you actually make more contacts, I think, at something like that, because there's just a smaller vibe to it. I'm not saying that it's empty, because it isn't. The last couple of years have been very busy, but it's not like 2020 or anything like that. It's not a huge event. So we're looking forward to that, and you're speaking at it.
Yeah,
cool.
I'm speaking. And actually, they've taken it a step further this year, so they've built a Facebook group.
Right.
For specifically around the Seven Oaks Business Show, so anyone that attends can join the group and have access to, so you don't just network and kind of swatch.
And I do believe the first 100 delegates all get a free goodie bag as well.
Yeah, and they're good this year.
Yeah.
They're good this year. I know what's going inside. Oh,
do you?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there early. I'm going to be there in a sleeping bag outside waiting for them to unlock the doors.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, so I'll be there.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I will see you there, because I will be there as well. And the Business Bunker will be there with an outside broadcast team interviewing people there, as we always do. Kelly, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us. If people want to find out more about the range of things that Market My Product do, what's the best way to do that?
So you can visit the website, which is just www.marketmyproduct.co.uk, nice and easy. And we've got a live chat facility, so you can just go and chat to a member of the team on the website. And then the handles are just Market M Product, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything.
Cool. And those links are on the Kent Business Radio website if you want them as well. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. And Kelly Teasdale, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant. That's good stuff. We've got one more guest to talk to, and we're really looking forward to that. I got tons of stuff. I've got tons of tweets. I've got tons of emails and stuff like that.
We're running out of time.
But we're fast running out of time because Martin talks too much. And I'm blaming Martin for everything today. I'm even blaming him for the baby. Is that fair?
Baby's gone.
No.
Oh, baby's had enough.
So what's making that noise then?
It was too hot for the baby.
Oh, it's too hot for me.
Channel FM have tweeted in, Paul.
Have they?
We know the guys at
Channel
FM.
Yes, we do. Darren and Joe and Dave. Yeah, hi, guys.
Based down in Betts Hanger on the old colliery site there. They're going to be at Grow Kent tomorrow, Stand 56. Cool. And we might be hearing a bit more from Channel FM at some point in the near future, but we won't spill the beans just yet.
There's lots of things happening at the moment. We've got a big announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks.
A big announcement
about the Business Bunker Show.
Ooh.
And I'm not telling you what it is.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. That's called a teaser, that is.
You're firing me.
Yeah, she knows, yeah.
Nice to have included your sponsors in that, Paul.
No, it's
that
a surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Okay. You wait. You'll love it.
We don't want any sponsors anymore. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're out. Excellent. We've sacked you all. Excellent. Yeah, we're rich. Sold it.
That's marketing for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're going to love it. And when we're ready, we'll announce it to you first before we announce it publicly.
Thank you. Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Telcare, the lovely people that provide telephone systems over there on the Rochester Medway City Estate. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Telcare LTD. And also my good friends at Venom Tech in Sandwich are enjoying the Business Bunker Show. So thank you so much for tweeting.
We actually have a new listener, Paul.
Another one?
Yeah.
That's two today.
But I... We've had so many tweets, I'm struggling to find him. So you carry on, and I should find him in the
meantime. While I'm doing that, I shall read this tweet from Stephen Connor, who says that Martin Paul White is now known as the Big White Whale. Yeah, hence the harpoon scars on his back. Yeah.
But actually, those scars are from falling out of my tree last week.
He sat Stephen, on the branch that he sawed. He did.
I trod on a branch that was rotten and fell out of a tree. But anyway, I found our new listener.
Right.
His name is Kevin Moorhen, and he's from Canterbury. And
Fruitworks he's based.
Is he based in Fruitworks?
He is.
Fantastic.
Indeed.
So he's a business coach and life coach supporting new dads, which is a first, isn't it? So good on you, Kevin, because we need a bit of support.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you need to get in touch with Kevin and have a chat, if you're a new dad and you need some help, it's at Kevin Moorhen on the Twitter.
Andrea Barker's just said, I've just tuned in. What have I missed? Oh, don't. We're not going to go over it all again. You'll have to listen on the catch-up.
It started, Andrea.
No. And also, the Eden Valley Chamber has said, hi, Paul, can you give our next networking event a shout-out, please? Networking at the King and Queen Bar. That's in Edenbridge on the 3rd of April. The King and Queen, 81 High Street, Edenbridge, on the 3rd of April, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday, the 3rd of April, for the Eden Valley Chamber Marketing. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our next guest. We're going to talk to the lovely Linda Garcia. And I can't believe, Linda, you've not been on the show before.
I have been on the show before. It was when it was still down on Romney Marsh, Paul.
I thought you had.
It was about this time last year, actually.
I thought you had been on before, and then we had a conversation earlier. You were talking about you haven't been to this studio.
I haven't been to the new studios because you haven't thrown the studio warming party yet.
We let you loose on the marsh, did we?
Yes.
That'll be it.
With Jules.
Yeah. So,
thank you for having me back, though. I was a guest of Martin, but only because he had a cancellation. I'm just scraping, you know.
Don't say that.
Scraping
don't
the
make
barrel.
It sound cheap. You're here
I
by,
love it.
By
Thank
merit,
you.
Linda.
Here.
You're here by
and
merit.
I'm enjoying the show. Thank you.
Anyway, I tell you what. Why don't we start our argument now?
There is no argument.
No, there isn't, actually.
You're
there
wrong.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Productivity is paramount to running a successful business.
Exactly. Why don't you start off, though, Linda, by telling people a bit about you and a bit about your background? Because you have a mega background, and I also happen to know that you've just got some qualifications through that enable you to do some other special stuff as well.
I've had a very exciting year, actually, thank you. But yes, in terms of my background, I actually come from the scientific scene. I did a biology degree. I think Lisa Settle is reading out a little bit about my first job and what I hated about it on Thursday evening. So you'll have to listen into that or come along to the
culture trace
business story. Now, I was started off in the medical microbiology laboratories of the London Hospital up on the Mile End Road where the Craig twins used to hang out.
Right, okay.
Quite interesting work, but I got bored with that and went into environmental consulting for my sins over the 80s, running around London, watching all the subbies stripping out asbestos from the buildings and the refurbishments that were happening.
Oh, great fun.
Mainly Oxford Circus. I've crawled over all the Burton buildings along and the top shop scenes along Oxford Circus. But from there, I decided that there has to be far more exciting things to do in life. And I wanted to travel, but I didn't want to have to pay for it. So I gave up work and I went back to Aston University and did an MBA because that's what you did at the end of the 80s because management consulting was getting really popular. Because companies were growing too fast, too large, out of control, and didn't know how to mend their profits. So management consulting became the place to go to try and get your business back on board. And I joined a very small niche management consulting organisation. And my first assignment was up in Scotland, actually, working the Seagram's distilleries.
Where?
There's 9 of them across the north of Scotland, and I was also consulting to the bottling plants in Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Right.
That was a good introduction into the world of consulting. Then I was sent to the United States. I worked in a small welding factory making Big Mac trucks.
I can imagine her in a welding mask and gloves.
Do you know what? They called me the designer bitch from hell because I was there in my little high heels and a suit and my little stockings, which the welders were able to... Sorry.
You've got my attention now.
Yeah.
Which the welders were able to...
I think I've seen that film.
On the production line, the welders would be able to target the sparks that came off of the weld straight towards my leg, so I invariably ended up with holes up the tights of my like my tights. I didn't mean to talk about this, so moving swiftly on.
Let's stick with that for the time being.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah. This is management consultancy of the type that we like. Yeah.
That was a very interesting little programme, and we managed to improve their productivity from getting 32 cabs out a day to 54. And the way we did that was slowed the line down, which in manufacturing is unheard of. You can't slow the line down. That's not productive. From there, I came back to England for about 6 weeks, actually, and worked in the rainy, dizzy heights of Manchester. And one afternoon, I was approached by the principal for the country and said, right, what are you doing Saturday? Not a lot, rugby, that sort of stuff. And, well, you're on a plane down to Chile. We've got a project starting up in Santiago, just outside of Santiago in Chile, in a cement factory, because I get to go to all the most exotic locations on the planet. And that was meant to be a six-month program. I ended up being down there for 9 years, and I came back with a 40-foot container, one husband, two kids, and a slightly larger suitcase than I went with.
Absolutely, yeah. It was the world in March what did it,
yeah.
And the stockings, yeah. That was right, was it? That's what you told me, Mario? Yeah,
yeah, and I met Mario, yes, but we won't go too much into that because that's part of my story for Thursday night at Lisa's. Right.
Did you take the mask off, or did you...
I was never wearing a mask, sadly. I did wear a hard helmet.
I'm sorry, Linda, from now on in, you were. It's our story now.
In Chile, we were actually one of the first management consulting companies to get into the country, into the region, and they were obviously... Chile was in a very progressive stage of growth. Pinochet was still heading up the Senate, and he did marvels for the country over the 20 years that he was trying to build it back up. We won't get into politics. So, I was 9 years in the region. I worked around Peru and Paraguay, Argentina, all the best places. I do speak Chilean.
Right.
I'll qualify that. Business owner of the company that I was working for had actually then decided to pull out of South America for various reasons. Argentinian's economy crashed. We moved out, and I was then sent to South Africa. So we had 18 months in South Africa as well, where I was working in one of the largest parastatal banks down there. A parastatal bank. So it was part private, part government funded.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were trying to improve funding and loans available to developing farmers, which would be like one man and two goats, who'd then disappear off into the desert, never to be seen again, and the loans never got paid back. That was an interesting program.
What year was that, sorry?
2002.
So was that was post-apartheid, was it?
Very much so.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mandela had been and gone, and the country was moving into big changes. I also worked in Zimbabwe at one of the times when the fuel riots were starting up, the economy there was crashing, very difficult place to work, and I was actually consulting to a department store in Zimbabwe and seeing the completely disparate prices. You could pay $30 for a bar of Dairy Milk chocolate and maybe $2 for a pair of shoes that had been imported in from South Africa. Very difficult economy there. But by this time we had two kids in tow, so life was getting quite complicated. And Mario, my husband, had actually given up his very illustrious career as a Navy officer. And
she likes a man in uniform.
I do like a man in uniform. Sadly, he no longer wears it, but it is in the attic.
And we're not going to go there.
We chose to come back to the UK in 2003. And while the kids were at school, I was in very low-key, low-profile jobs, just trying to keep myself entertained while the kids went through school. And after 10 years, I decided I need to get back to my core skill set and get my expertise back out there. And that's when I came out of employment as a sole trader, started trading as Linda Garcia, business consultant, and obviously then formed in 2015 Aluxi Consulting Limited, which is bringing my skills and expertise to the SME market in Kent. I choose to work in Kent. I've travelled so much, it's a little bit of a luxury. I don't want to be travelling too far.
It's funny that, isn't it? I have a similar kind of thing for that. When I had corporate jobs, I worked all over the place. And as soon as... You're the same, Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eventually you go, do you know what? That was fun, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want to work right where I live.
Exactly. I love being in my little garden office. I'm quite happy there. Yeah. I don't need to get on a plane to New York.
Yes, people say it's very luxurious, very exotic, but it is really hard work. And when you live away from home, I would often be away from home for 3 weeks at a time. I'd sort of leave on a Sunday, come back at the end of the month, see my kids for 24 hours, if I was lucky, 36 hours, and then be back on a plane somewhere else. Mm. So, yeah, I've had a very privileged career, and I'm not going to knock that at all, and it's got me the knowledge that I have today. Mm. So I'm much happier using it. And the other change, obviously, in the larger corporate management consulting industry, it was very much helping businesses to cut back on their cost bases because they had grown out of control. They would normally have far too many people in their businesses, in their industries. Productivity had gone out of the window, or they didn't know how to measure it or how to manage it. And we were then often perceived as the hatchet people, just cutting jobs. Yeah. In the new SME market, it's a lot more refreshing because you're now, you know, I've got the opportunity to work with companies who are just starting up. Yes, I do have an ideal client that normally be sort of maybe 5 to 10 employees, which is at the point where you might be thinking about introducing your first team leader or supervisory level. You're probably starting to recognise that you need more controlled systems, tighter data, better information coming through as to what your people are doing. And this is what productivity is all about, Paul. And so what I'm doing now is helping businesses grow, but in a controlled way so that they don't end up 5, 10, 15 years down the line having to cut back or making massive redundancies, which is what ended up getting us.
Actually, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of smaller businesses do fail, isn't it? They try and grow too quickly.
The biggest cause of failure of business is overgrowing and cash flow.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not a lack of customers. It's the opposite. Yep. They grow too quickly.
Mm. And the key resource that businesses have is their people. Mm. Yeah, they've got machines, they might have computers, but it's the people in the business that have got to be assigned specific amount of work, that the business owner should have an awareness of how long that piece of work should take, and make sure that the work is being done within a certain time frame. Mm. Because if you're not getting your product or your service delivered, and it's not just a matter of time, it's the quantity, the quality, the cost, and the time is 25% of the equation.
It's interesting you should say that. A few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I used to do a talk entitled Why Karl Marx Was Right. Yeah. And Marx said at the end of the 19th century that his aim was for the proletariat to own the means of production. And my thing is now the proletariat does own the means of production. It's not about capital anymore.
Yep.
It's not about equipment. It's about people and talent.
Yes.
And you can be anybody in business because it's about what you can do. And it's that talent.
That talent. Can I pick one on that point? Because you mentioned talent. Mm. Yes. Main problems that I've started to see with small startup businesses is that business owner brings the talent of their product or their service to the arena. What we are very poor at, and the government is recognising this now, is we don't train managers to manage. A manager might be appointed or given the job because they were the best worker on the shop floor or the best worker in the team. So they're taken out and say, brilliant, you come along, can you please now manage the team and, you know, get them to work the same way you do? And that doesn't happen. So you end up with a team that has now got one of the best workers down, and you've now got a manager who's not really sure what to do or probably doesn't feel that they wanted to be in that position in the first place. Who knows? Mm. So one of the things that I'm trying to bring to the table is let's start skilling management so that they understand what all this productivity is. How do you engage teams? How do you make sure that you are motivating people? Mm. How do you communicate to people? We are absolutely abysmal in the UK at communication. Mm. Confrontation is one of the hardest things to do. But if you give your people clear and concise and objective information to start with, you start to reduce the need for confrontation because all that ambiguity and reading that crystal ball disappears.
Mm. I was well known in a company that I ran, and I was a director and part owner of a company many years ago, and we had 54 staff. And I got incredibly fed up with people coming into my office going, that blimmin' Linda, da, 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 da. And then Kelly would come in and go, well, you know, that blimmin' Kelly or whatever. And I developed this thing where I call the protagonist into my office and I go, hello, Kelly, hello, Linda. Do you know what Kelly's been saying about you? And then I'd say it and they go, oh, and I go, if you can't say it to their face, don't say it to me. Now you tell them to their face what you told me. And, of course, people go, don't want to do that.
Because you have to start breaking down those barriers.
You have to break those barriers down. Otherwise, it just becomes a gossip fest.
Well, confrontation is a really interesting one, isn't it? I mean, If there's a fundamental lack of certain systems and processes, like performance appraisals, for example, then the person that's supposed to be giving the appraisal, and I was watching a Ricky Gervais clip the other day, I can't remember where it was, they've got no idea about, you know, how they're supposed to lead the discussion. They're not able to actually remove themselves from the conversation because they're not following any particular framework. So it does become very confrontational and very personal.
This is exactly what I try to do. And the Ricky Gervais clip you were watching, we were at the Kent County Cricket Ground watching Chris from UK Business Mentors with his presentation.
Yes, we were.
That was a confrontation, wasn't it? That is exactly what I do with business owners in working with them in their business. So I'm not to be confused with the coach. Coaches very rarely will be sitting in their designing systems. But my approach is you've got to think of two things. One is the technical, systematic, where are you getting your information from? What is that information telling you? That is the management control system side of things. Secondly, you've got to do the tactical side of training people, getting employees understanding what is expected of them, what their objectives are. Sorry, Paul, you do have to have goals. they can change, but you have to have people focus. So if you bring in new systems, new ways of monitoring, measuring and managing the work, then people have to understand why that is going to help them in their business. So the Alluxi approach is to bring in the tactical training side, the technical system side, and that will generate the behaviour change that you need, because if you want to improve your results, you have to do something differently. You did have a phrase on that earlier, Paul, which I totally agree
with. I've got one right then.
And that will create your maximising your profits. But yeah, on the exciting news front, you mentioned about the award. I've had 30 years working operationally and strategically in businesses, and as a consultant I don't have a tangible product that I can sit on the table and say, look, this is what I do. So I have to prove myself, and last year
and you have to prove yourself every time.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, every company is different. So last year I put in a submission to be recognised by the Chartered Management Institute, and they awarded me fellow status, so I'm now a fellow of the Chartered Management Institute.
Woo-hoo. Well done. That is a big deal.
It was quite a shock, actually. There's only another 231 women in the UK that have reached fellow status at the Chartered Management Institute. So
but you've created a learning framework now, haven't you, accredited?
Yes.
So you have done that now.
Yeah, I do have. Although I do work one-on-one with people in the businesses, I also have to present them the theory, and I show them how to put that into the practice. So for the theory side, I've now developed my leadership and management development program, which is about 18 hours over 6 sessions, so we can run it fortnightly, weekly, monthly. I'm even looking to launch it as a standalone product. I'm talking to the FSB to be able to offer it to the FSB members. And that has now also been recognised by the Chartered Management Institute, which might sound grand, but what that means is that my program complies to the national standards, the national vocational standards, so it does have to reach a certain level. So yeah, that's been quite a good year in that respect, and that I'm now bona fide. You can all trust me to be actually
I think that's so important for consultants and coaches. The fact that they're charging ultimately for their time. But without a framework, without a product, for want of a better word, to hang what they do off, it's very difficult to actually talk to somebody about what they need in their business.
Yeah. It's as I said to Kelly earlier, you know, for a small business that's going to invest quite a lot of money for them in somebody like that, how do you go about choosing someone? And with that kind of framework behind you, it makes it far easier for someone to go.
It's crucial.
Well, you know,
I know there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
And if you're just having a fluffy conversation about, growth. Yeah. It's all about grow your business.
Water it.
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a numbers person.
Yeah. Right.
I even produced a spreadsheet for our holiday to Chile, and my son went ballistic. You've got to do a spreadsheet.
But what Linda does so well...
That would drive me nuts.
What Linda does so well, because we've had many conversations...
Debates as
well. ...is, you know, it's the old wood for the trees adage.
Yeah.
You know, Linda can just spot something that isn't right immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, she'll walk around your office and she'll say, what does that person over there actually do?
Yeah.
And you say, well, they're in charge of this, or their responsibility is that. Yeah. But what are they actually doing?
Yeah.
You know, and Linda is your good old fashioned time and motion person. In she can be if that's what's needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And in an awful lot of businesses, that's exactly what's needed.
It is.
It is what's needed. You know, we let our processes get out of control, and we end up messing about doing stuff.
What I liken it to is what I'm trying to find is the fundamental genes in your business and build that into the DNA of how your business is going to work.
Yeah.
And that is having to break it down right to the smallest building blocks of your business and identify exactly what needs to happen. It doesn't have to, it sounds very restrictive, but it isn't. But you have to have guidelines and a framework within which to work. And if you haven't got those, then you don't know whether you're having a good day or a bad day because you've got no point of reference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, numbers are important in business.
Absolutely. Linda, we could talk about this forever.
We could.
Sadly, we're at the end of
and
the programme.
And we didn't argue much, Paul.
We haven't, no. That's what I'm missing.
That's because he hasn't got a leg to stand on, Linda, as you and I both know.
Can I have another 30 seconds? Just
yeah, very quickly.
I don't know why I'm holding up my poster because this is a radio show. One of the things that we're very passionate about in our family is supporting breast cancer now. I am a breast cancer survivor. I've been alive and kicking now for the last 9 years. So we are... I can't cycle 110 miles or row upstream and all the things that husbands and my sons have been doing of raising money for charity. So we've set up, we're going to be holding a marvellous, spectacular pink charity gala ball. It's at the Ashford International on Thursday, the 11th of May, 6:30 p.m. onwards. We have got an amazing lineup of entertainers. Barnaby Winter is our MC for the night. We've got Lisa Barrett-Smith, French magician Etienne Pradier, Jason Alan Sway is a fantastic Michael Bublé tribute act singer, and Here Come the Girls, the duo Donna and Joe from Hythe.
I know Donna and Joe.
They're brilliant party music. Leisure King Limited, they're bringing along a fun photo booth. We've got the tickets, yes, they're £75, but you get a glass of sparkly on arrival. We've got a three-course dinner with a little bit of wine included.
Wow.
And, there's going to be lots going on. We've already got some fantastic raffle prizes. Anno Distillers have donated a tour of and tasting of their gin distillery for four people. Yeah. We've got some Arbonne Cosmetics. We've got the Ashford International actually offering a spa break weekend for two. We've got Secret Pantry. Give us a champagne afternoon tea. So we've got loads of raffle prizes.
Actually, people can donate those as well, can't they? If you want to get really involved and donate a prize, get in touch with Linda.
If you want to get in touch with me, we've got a website where you can book tickets if you're interested in coming. Amanda Flanders of Butterflies and Dreams Events is helping me get this whole thing set up. And the book now is at www.butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/charity-gala. Or you can just email pinkcharityball@aluxi.co.uk. We would love to see you there, so please do come along.
We're all coming.
Thank
not
you
to worry.
All.
We're totally out of time now.
Sorry.
We're at the end of the show. Quickly, very quickly, give us a shout for your business website.
Aluxi.co.uk. Aluxi. To shine
fantastic.
The light.
Linda, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking about that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Sorry to rush you at the end, but we're right at the end of the show. We've got no time to cover anything else. Martin's used up all the time talking about his
Alison
things.
Palmer has just tweeted saying, I'm listening live to Business Bunker, looking forward to the last 10 minutes of the show where we read all the FSB updates.
Yeah, well, we can't because you talk too much and there's only 2 minutes left now.
Alison, I would, but he won't.
I'll very quickly tell you about the FSB events that are coming up, and you can find these all on the Kent Business Radio website on the FSB tab. On the 23rd of March is FSB Connect at Tunbridge. That's a Tunbridge Business Breakfast, and the guest speaker is Justin Rees-Larkham. On the 23rd of March also is Meet the Buyer at Medway Council, which we talked about earlier. And the 28th of March is Women in Business Brunch in Hythe. I think that's at the Westernham Castle. At 4th of April is Women in Business Brunch in Dartford. And the 5th of April is the Bank of England Roundtable at the Innovation Centre in Medway. And then Kent Vision Live is on the 10th of May. So that is the FSB very quick news roundup for Alison, because we've completely and totally run out of time.
Can I just say,
what
a great job the FSB are doing, lobbying on behalf of small businesses at
Absolutely.
Central government level. And Alison, keep up the good work.
Yeah, they're doing a fabulous job, and we really appreciate it.
I sent my email to my MP based on Alison's template.
Yep, so unfortunately we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you all. Thank you to our guests Rebecca Robinson, Kelly Teasdale and Linda Garcia, and to my co-host Martin White and my executive producer Sarah Ann Lucas, otherwise known as Bird. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back with you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.